Put some respect on my name.
First and foremost, my numbers are better than 15, 16 or so guys that are currently in the hall.
Here's the handoff to Taylor looking for some cutback. He finds the room looking for Fred go. He's across the 30. Look at him run. Fred's going. He's at the 50, the 40.
Y'all finished or y'all done?
20, 10, 5, touchdown. 80 yards, Fred Taylor.
I'm talking modern day guys at my position.
When my name come up, respect. Stop playing with my name.
Let's
I ain't
go right on it.
And he's the handoff to Fred looking for the cutback. He's got room on the middle 10. Fred's in there. He's at the 20. Fred's on the run to the 25 and the 30. He's going 40. Fred 50. Fred 40. Fred 30. Fred 25, 20.
Y'all saying my name, put some respect on.
You look at the guys that are in the Hall of Fame from a defensive standpoint. Ray Lewis, Derrick Brooks. Look at all these other guys. They're trying to put in the Hall of Fame.
Garrard on the get. Here's Taylor.
Put some respect.
Busting on. Through. Fred Taylor making a cut. Taylor is gone. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
These the same dudes that I murk every Sunday.
When my name come up, respect it. Stop playing with my name. I ain't gonna say it on it.
But he knows he doesn't have a big play team, and Jacksonville does.
Draw play. Taylor skips two tackles. Right, and here we go.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Brock Marion chasing. Brock Marion still chasing. Gets help from Smith. Touchdown. No flags. A 90-yard run.
Y'all finished or y'all done?
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today
with
your host, Tony Smith.
Come on, Tony!
What's going on, E.T.?
What's happening?
Dude, you're getting me hyped up all over again.
Hey, Pross just got a little taste. Pross just got a little taste. Pross walked by, and then he had a double take. He gave me that, oh yeah! Come on, somebody!
It's every day, man. This is how we start the show. Every day with E.T., just the hype man. He's the hype man. We need to get him. We need to get you around town, E.T. Like, we need more than this room experiencing this every day.
And I'm willing to give it to him. Just come get me.
Yeah, I don't know if we mentioned the other day when we were talking about Fred Taylor. Put him in the Hall of Fame already, by the way, with the open. You know, I never get tired of hearing the Fred highlights. I really don't. I never get tired of it, right? Like, the Jags have been around now for over a quarter of a decade. Honestly, guys, they may never again have a running back as good as Fred Taylor was. He was that special, right? Like, they might never have that kind of guy again that had that combination of size, speed, and power. It might never come around again. He was a special, special type player. This is a man that at 31 years old averaged 5.4 yards a carry.
That boy was good.
Are you serious? I mean, are you serious? At 31 years of age, rushed for 1,200 yards while he was splitting backfield duties with Maurice Jones-Drew and 5.4 yards a carry. That's Fred Taylor. Special, man. Special.
Freddie T.
Put him in the hall already. We'll hear from some other guys that are trying to get their guys ready to make some kind of run. You know, if we could get, you know, just two of the 90. Is that too much to ask?
I don't think so.
Two of the 90 wind up with Hall of Fame worthy
careers. I don't think so.
Since we got three, really, in the history of the franchise that are legit Hall of Fame guys, right, with Tony Boselli, Fred Taylor, Jimmy Smith, I think those three guys are all Hall of Fame guys. There may be more if you want to expand the conversation. You know, I'm not going to stop you from doing that a little bit, but there may be more than just those three guys. But two, is it asking too much, E?
Man, it's not asking a lot at all, and these are reasonable requests. It makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. I think you, if you had to guess the two, I think all of us would guess one of them is wearing 16, right? Like, I think we're all on board for that. Although, based on the reports yesterday from his passing game coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer, he is fighting for the starting job at this point. So we'll react to that a little bit on the show today, which, look, the coaches are going to talk the way they talk about it, you know, this time of year. And there's no reason to, quote, name a starter in Jacksonville at this point.
Bruh, really?
But I am looking forward to getting Mike DiRocco on and asking him about how he feels the competition for the starting job at quarterback is going, based on what he's seen out there at practice, at least to this point. But if you had to guess two of them, and you thought one of them was Trevor Lawrence, who would the other one be, you know, among the group of guys that they got right now? That you think can get to that all-pro, perennial all-pro type status?
I mean, J-Rob keep playing like if he has a, like continue like that, oh, most definitely.
Man, it'd be hard. It'd be hard.
To keep at that pace?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for
especially
sure.
Especially with ETN here and running back is it's so loaded, you know, all the time. But he should have been a Pro Bowler last year and he right. didn't get that nod. It's not like we've never dealt with that in Jacksonville before. Hello, Fred Taylor. You know, like that guy went to one Pro Bowl. Are you serious?
Ridiculous.
And we've gone over the years. You know, we've done that kind of thing before, talking about, well, it was Larry Johnson this year, and it was Priest Holmes this year. Like, it was always Jamal Lewis this year that had that year, right? Like, it makes sense when you look back on it that he wound up only making one, but it makes no sense that Fred Taylor's a one-time Pro Bowler. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all because
that hate is real.
He was exceptional and deserved a whole lot more than that. Yeah, I don't know. If I had to pick a second guy that I think could be that perennial all-pro type guy on this roster right now, I think I'd probably land on Josh Allen. I think is where I would land.
I'd want to say that, but you know, I don't know.
He had the down second year.
That was just tough. And then the third year was in.
And well, he's getting ready for year three.
Yeah, so yeah, last year.
Yeah, last year was year two. His rookie year when he's playing next to Calais and Jan and those guys still in his rookie year. I mean, he was a Pro Bowler his first year in the league, 10.5 sacks, but last year was a mess on a whole bunch of levels. By the way, did you see the video that the Jaguars put out when they were talking to, I don't know if the intention was to talk to Jahad Ward and Jahad Ward alone, but the whole defensive line was in there with Jahad.
They all pulled up.
They all were in the room.
One band, one sound.
Right,
baby.
Yeah, it was that kind of thing. And so Jahad's the one that was standing at the podium. But if you haven't seen it yet, Jaguars fans, you got to check it out. I'll retweet it here in a second. And so Jahad Ward's the one standing at the podium. And Ashlyn Sullivan, who's conducting the interview for Jaguars.com, is asking Jahad a question. And Jahad would turn around and kind of like call one of his brothers over. He'd be like, come over here. And he'd whisper something in their ear. And then they'd lean forward to the microphone and give like a 3-word answer to whatever it was. Right. So, and one of them happened to be, you know, talking about the sack numbers and how they're going to accomplish what has been talked about this week. Joe Cohen talked about doubling their sack total from last year, you know, pushing 50. Like he mentioned the number 50 when he was asked about a sack total for the team this year after having a really bad year, less than 20 sacks last season. And so Jahad Ward's being asked about, you know, do you think you can live up to those expectations and how would you go about doing that? And Jahad turns around, waves Josh Allen over, says something in his ear. And Josh leans up to the microphone. He goes, power of the unit. Like, it's a really, really fun 3 minutes or so there.
I like
Of those guys having fun with one another, right? And I don't think Jahad spoke a word.
In his own presser.
In the whole 3 minutes. Well, I think it's like one of those setup things. Like, they knew this was going to be kind of fun, you know? And maybe Ashlyn was supposed to be talking to just Jahad Ward. And instead, he like brought all his guys in. And what are you going to say? No, I only wanted to talk to you, especially when you get something as fun as what they wound up getting. But he called everybody in the room over. Like, after every question, he would just call them over, whisper something in his ear, and then that'd give some brief little answer. And there have been some that have been making a big deal about the video. One, it's a good time, right? Power of the unit. I think this is just something that's going to stick for a while. Power of the unit. This is another slogan to add out of what the Jaguars got going on. But watchers may have noticed there was at least one guy from that defensive line group that was not among the power of the unit in the video. Taven Bryan wasn't there. Now, he may have been doing something that he had to be doing, you know, had a meeting, had treatment, had something. So don't make too big a deal out of it, but I'd be remiss if I didn't point out that it has been noticed that when they did a Power of the Unit press conference that Taven Bryan was not in the room, you know, and it brings me back to that photo from his rookie year with all the defensive linemen doing their poses, you know, doing their tough guy stance, and Taven just looks like an absolute goofball.
Looks like he's lost.
Just an absolute goofball in that photo. But yeah, if you haven't checked it out yet, I'll retweet it here in just a moment so you can check it out. Power of the Unit, as John Ward and the boys having a little bit of fun down there with the Jacksonville Jaguars. We got our question of the day today asking you, Jaguars fans, with we mentioned it briefly yesterday. Is Trevor Lawrence the most excited you've ever been, right, about a player that the Jaguars have drafted or signed? So we're just going to ask you, what Jaguars player were you the most excited about when he was signed or drafted by the team? I got a couple like the early responses that were, because I included a picture of Trevor Lawrence, I think it may have confused some people. They were like, oh, you mean like this year outside of Trevor? You know, like that kind of thing, because I got some Andre Sisko. And maybe Sisko's the guy that they're most excited about. I'm not saying that's not possible, that they could have been pumped when the Jaguars were able to land him, or Walker Little, I think, was one of the answers I've gotten this morning. I'm asking, in the 25-plus year history of the Jacksonville Jaguars, what draft pick or free agent signing or player that they acquired in a trade, when they made the move, not ultimately when everything played out and we got to the end of their time in Jacksonville, we saw them do whatever they were going to do in a Jaguars uniform. What player were you the most excited about when they made the move to go get him? And it's Trevor Lawrence at the top of that list. And I'm curious for how many people he would be, right? Because Trevor's that guy, man. We've been talking about Trevor Lawrence for 3 years as the potential number one overall pick. There's been guys that we talked to Denny Thompson on Monday about this that saw him in high school and was like, yeah, he's going to be the number one overall pick. Like, whenever the time comes, this dude's going number one. He won a national championship as a freshman. We've been over the accolades for Trevor Lawrence, and now he's your quarterback. Like, there's a lot of reasons to be excited, and we'll see over the course of the next several months if he can win the starting quarterback job in Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick, is we'll be joined by Mike DiRocco, and we will talk to him about that, obviously. Jaguars reporter for ESPN's NFL Nation. Dempsey's still on vacation. He'll be back with us on Monday, so a couple more days for him to rest and relax and do the family thing, and then we'll check back in with him on Monday. The Jaguars' offseason work is done. Doesn't mean these guys aren't still working, but they're also allowed to do the vacation thing now, as they all voluntarily showed up for the majority of the offseason. We're here for the mandatory minicamp earlier this week, and now it's time to hit the beach for those guys. And as we say every year when we get to this time of year, I don't need to see anything from you.
Stay out of trouble.
Yeah, just stay out of trouble for the next month. Let's get ready for training camp and get rolling into 2021, the first 17-game regular season in NFL history. So we'll see how the Jaguars can do with Urban Meyer going into his first year as well. Mike DiRocco will join us on the other side. It's a Thursday edition of Jaguars Today. Tony Smith, ET, here with you on 1010XL.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You know, I got bad news, Jacksonville. They have announced the cover for Madden 21. Is it 21? Yeah. They've announced the cover. So. And despite all the hype, Trevor didn't make the cover of Madden 21.
It's all good.
Yeah. He didn't make the cover.
Soon come. I don't know if we necessarily want that right now.
Is the Madden curse still a thing? Is everybody that gets on there still getting hurt?
Not like it used to be.
Yeah, the year that they get on there. Because if that's the case, then the top quarterbacks in the league should be petitioning to end this madness. Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes both going to be on the cover of this year's Madden game. So if you're still invested in those kinds of things, those are the two guys that'll be on the cover of this year's Madden.
You heard that, Beasley?
Uh-huh. The gauntlet has been thrown down, and it's been accepted from what I can tell.
Yeah, it's been accepted. We're going to try to put something together for real, for real.
We'll see how that develops here over the next few months, as Aaron Beasley has done some consultant work on Madden, and ET, as he is wont to do, has challenged him to a game, and it may turn into a little tournament here. So we welcome in Mike DiRocco from ESPN. D-Rock, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, guys. How are y'all today?
Doing well, and I think we have to start with this. Just in your eyes, having been out there for the half a dozen or so practices that you've seen, how is the competition for the starting quarterback shaping up for you?
Too close to call, fellas. Too close to call. I really I don't know that I can make a decision on that. That's so funny, isn't it? I mean, like, Trevor was the starting quarterback in 2021 the second they lost to the Bears. I mean, it was, I mean, I get why they're saying it, but it's just one of those ludicrous things that coaches do. It just, but it doesn't make any sense, and it's just ridiculous.
Oh, sure. And, you know, it's just, I can understand Schottenheimer saying, look, Urban will announce it whenever he wants to announce it. We're about competition. Okay. You know, like, and we can kind of laugh about it the day after, right? Because we all know where it's ultimately going to end up. But just for you, D-Rock, it's here. Trevor Lawrence is the quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. What have your impressions of him been in the times that you've been able to get out to practice?
Well, you know, the first time we saw him, he was in the rookie mini camp, and he was limited. You know, so we really didn't get a good look at him in terms of any kind of, you know, teamwork or anything like that. But since then, you know, we saw him three times, and he had a didn't have a good day in red zone and had the hamstring. But, you know, this past week, this Tuesday, he looked fantastic. I mean, he was just, he looked every bit the number one overall pick. I mean, he had the ball placement was great. He put a touchdown pass in a perfect spot in the back of the end zone. I think it was to Philip Dorsett, just dropped it right in there. You know, yeah, that's the Trevor Lawrence that you're hoping, if you're a Jaguars fan, you can see every single week.
No doubt. And it's been fun, too, Mike, just listening to teammates react to the things that they see Trevor Lawrence doing. You know, Shaq Griffin talking about Trevor Lawrence and the excitement that it feels like he has for what he could potentially be with him being in his first, you know, offseason as an NFL quarterback right now. But just the way the ball comes out of his hand and those kinds of things, like, they may be said in other places. We may have heard those kind of things, but I don't think they've been said quite the same way as they're being said here in the last month and a half or so here in Jacksonville in previous years.
Yeah, you know, Shaq Griffin the other day talking about the stuff that he's seen. You see it out of really, really good quarterbacks in the league, and then you see it out of Trevor Lawrence, and you don't expect to see it out of somebody that young and someone who really hasn't even put on pads yet. Let's be honest. I mean, this is underwear and helmets, and you know, that was pretty high praise from Shaq Griffin, who I think is going to be a fun guy to talk to all year. Based on the couple of times that we've already had a chance to speak with them. But look, everybody should be excited. I mean, this is what Jaguars fans have been waiting for a long, long time. And if you're listening to the players and they're getting excited, then you should be pretty much at the same level of excitement too.
Yeah, what have you learned about the team and the on-field work that you have been able to see? And what have you heard from the coaches and players during the last month or so of on-field work that they have done?
You know, it's interesting to see the differences in the way Urban has sort of structured things and sort of the way that they go about their business, to be honest with you. You know, he's talked about the best of the best and wanting to give the players the best things and wanting to make sure that their facility is great, wanting to make sure that they have the best recovery, they have the best nutrition. Multiple guys have raved about the food being much better, but, you know, I didn't think it was terrible. I thought the food was pretty good in the past. You know, we used to, as the media, we used to be able to eat lunch up there, and it was pretty darn good then. So this must be like some five-star restaurant dining now for these guys. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is that you can kind of feel the culture change, the beginnings of a culture change, because really you can't say the culture has completely changed until they're winning, to be honest with you, and until we get into the season and see how things are going. But, you know, I think we talked about it before when I was on the show that, you know, you needed a complete and total reevaluation of the entire franchise just to kind of make sure that things were going correctly. And Urban has done that. Now, has he gone into business and the marketing departments? No. But everything that touches football, he's gone through and looked at and made some changes, and I think that was very much needed. And if there was any doubt, by the way, that Urban was completely in charge, listening to George Warhop yesterday, the offensive line coach, he kind of removed all those doubts and basically said Irv is the king, the emperor, the ruler of the land, like we all knew, but it was good to finally get someone saying it on the record. So that's the kind of stuff that has really kind of stood out to me, because I've learned, Tony, and you know this, you guys have been out at these things, that everybody looks good this time of year. Everybody does. And everybody looks like they're going to win a lot of games this year. And guys have put on weight and have gotten faster and stronger, and, you know, everybody raves. So I just always take it with a grain of salt, because we're looking at it in a vacuum. We don't have anyone else to measure them by, and this is the optimism time of the year.
Are you surprised at all about the level of reaction from the players to, you know, you're talking about the food and the nutrition and the training and the strength and all these things that obviously Urban Meyer's come in and said they're going to make a priority from the moment he got here? Have you been surprised at all about the players' reaction to what it is now, especially the guys that have been here in previous years?
No, not really, because, I mean, how many guys are left from that 17 team when they won? Not very many. Miles was there. You know, Linder was there. Shatley was there. I'm sure I'm missing a couple other guys. But the bottom line is most of this team has done nothing but lose. And most of the guys on this team have really not experienced anything close to, you know, the level of winning that Urban Meyer was able to deliver at Ohio State and Florida. So I think they're just hungry for this. And sometimes change is good, and sometimes change is bad, as we all know. But I think this time the change is really good, and these guys are so eager to win and so eager for success that they're just going to embrace it immediately. And it helps that Urban Meyer has the pedigree that he does. And, you know, I think we can honestly say that this franchise has been really searching for legitimacy for a long, long time. And winning in 2017 and making the AFC Championship game was nice, but that didn't legitimize the franchise. I think Urban brings a little bit of legitimacy to the franchise, and I think the players kind of feel that and they like it.
Jaguars reporter for ESPN's NFL Nation, Mike DiRocco, joining us, looking back on the course of the on-field work that you've seen. Has there been, outside of Trevor Lawrence, who obviously all eyes are going to be on him with whenever he's going to be out there taking a rep, but has there been a couple other standouts for you maybe over the course of the last month or so?
Yeah, I mean, Laviska Shenault has really looked good. I mean, that's not a surprise. I think everyone else kind of talked about that as well. So he has looked really good. I thought Shaq Griffin has looked pretty good running around out there as well. You know, there's been a tight end that has been a little bit of a surprise, a physical guy who is probably more of a blocker than a receiver, but Tyler Davis has kind of stood out to me a little bit.
I was waiting for the man hurts bomb there, D-Rock. You let me down.
I completely and totally threw you a curveball there, but let me tell you this about man hurts. That is a big dude, man. Oh, my goodness, is that a big man. But I think he'll be a better pass catcher than maybe we think. He had a nice catch earlier in one of the workouts in the back of the end zone that we were able to see. So I think we all just think, oh, he's a blocker and his hands are hands of stone, and I don't think that's the case. You know, but the thing of it is it's hard to really shine, you know, signal out a bunch of guys just because of the nature of these workouts. But you wanted to see, you know, guys, the skill position guys look pretty good, and they do. And I'll tell you what, Travis Etienne, if they really are able to do the things that they say they want to do with him and they want to get him in space and they can do that, then I think he is a big play waiting to happen. And that really was something that they really needed. You know, I looked it up, and you know, if we're defining big plays of runs of 20 or more yards and receptions of 30 or more yards, which to me is, I mean, that's pretty much the level of a big play. They had 16 last year. That was last in the league. Won a game. I mean, you don't win games doing that, as we saw. So I think Travis Etienne, you can just see the explosiveness out of him. You can see the athleticism, the ability to make those quick cuts and those moves in space. And I think that's going to be he's going to be a fun guy to watch.
Talking about the tight ends a little bit there, D-Rock, you know the question's coming. Just how has Tim Tebow looked in his transition to tight end?
You know, I guess I don't know what I was expecting the first time when I saw him, but he didn't look out of place. You know what I mean? Like, he's not as big as some of those other guys know, but, I mean, he's in great shape. He's a strong guy. He didn't look out of place in terms of you sitting there going, what is he even doing on the field here? You know, he's a little slower, and, you know, his fundamentals, blocking, and needs work, footwork, technique, hand placement, all that kind of stuff needs work because he's never done it before. And he's run some routes in team drills and stuff, and he's made some catches. And I haven't seen him drop a ball in the workouts we've been out there. But, you know, Manhurst is making this team. Farrell's making this team, who I think, by the way, has a chance to be a solid, solid player for this team. Maybe not this year, but in the future. You know, and I think O'Shaughnessy's making this team. So, you know, that leaves one spot open. And right now, if I were ranking them, it would be Tyler Davis. After that, as the fourth tight end, I'd be stunned if they keep five tight ends. But let's see how things go when the pads come on. And that's when we'll really kind of find out if Tebow can hold his own or not. But again, like I told you guys before, if they're just going to keep him at a strictly a tight end, then I don't think he makes the roster. But if they're going to use him as a gadget guy and take advantage of some of the stuff that he does, you know, wildcat quarterback stuff, that kind of stuff, then I think he probably has a really good chance to make the roster.
Knowing that your opportunities to see the guys are limited and you can only tell so much, even with the on-field workouts at this time of year, but DJ Chark talked about being bigger, being faster, coming into this offseason with the work that he's put in with the strength group. Could you tell any kind of difference with DJ Chark this year compared to last year especially?
Yeah, he does look a little bit bigger. He's always been fantastically athletic. But the thing that I found most interesting, you know, Urban basically threw him under the bus, obviously, a couple of weeks ago, and basically say, yeah, he was kind of soft. But the thing to me that was the most important was that Chark admitted, hey, yeah, I let, you know, maybe my attitude get in the way of my production. I got discouraged. I let things that were happening on the field affect me, and that's bad. I mean, we kind of thought that by watching it last year, but to hear him admit it, you know, that was a little bit surprising. So you got to think that he's working on that to make sure that, you know, hey, if things aren't going well, am I going to pout? Am I not going to run my routes hard? No, I got to step that up, and I got to give complete effort on every single snap. So that, to me, was the most stark or the most interesting comment from him, and that needs to be the biggest change that he makes, even bigger than the physical stuff for 2021.
All right, D-Rock, we'll keep you around for one more segment, and we'll get into some of the storylines that we expect to be sticking around when this team heads into training camp at the end of July. We know at least where one competition is going on right now for a starting job on this roster at kicker. So we'll get your reaction to that, as well as some other guys that we've been talking about potentially competing at least, and where those competitions may be for this team once we get into training camp at the end of July. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
And I'll tell you what, Travis Etienne, if they really are able to do the things that they say they want to do with him, and they want to get him in space, and they can do that, then I think he is a big play waiting to happen. And that really was something that they really needed. You know, I looked it up, and you know, if we're defining big plays of runs of 20 or more yards and receptions of 30 or more yards, they had 16 in the last year.
That was last in the 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It was funny. Someone on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures had sent in a text literally as Mike DiRocco started talking about Travis Etienne there. Like, hey, what's up with Travis Etienne? Haven't heard much about him lately. And it's like, not even asked, but answered. They're from D-Rock. What do you got going on that you had that psychic connection with one of our listeners out there, Mike?
Well, you know, I'm a man of the people, and I just kind of innately know what they want there, Tony. I think that's what it is.
Okay. Well, we know of at least a couple of battles for starting spots that are open right now when you throw quarterback in there. But beyond that, they've talked about it this week. There's an open competition at kicker. How open do you think realistically the competition is for Josh Lambeau and Aldrick Rosas there?
Oh, I think it is wide open. Which is kind of crazy. I mean, how many times do you see a guy that is a veteran player that is at the top of his game have someone brought in to compete with him? It's really surprising. I thought it was, you know, when they originally re-signed him, you know, oh, that must mean that Josh Lambeau may not be ready. You know, that hip injury will be something that will be a problem, you know, going into the offseason and maybe even lingering into camp. But he's fine, so they're just going to let those two bang it out. You know, I guess there is some concern that that hip injury is one of those things that could kind of crop up again, you know, for Lambeau, and other guys have had it, and it's been a lingering issue. And I know that the previous staff really liked Rosas, got a big leg, and he was a Pro Bowler back in 2018 with the Giants. So, that is wide open. It's going to be kind of fun to watch it because they're both pretty good from long range. So we're going to see some bombs kicked in practice.
Yeah, and it's one of the few things that you can kind of go live with, you know, during this portion of the offseason. So I'm not surprised that they would take advantage of going as live with it as they could. But still, Josh Lambeau, as good as he's been here, it was just, as you said, it was stunning when you heard it. It was, what? Like, Lambeau has been so, so good. He's been automatic, basically, since he got here to Jacksonville, that he'd be in a competition. I guess it puts, you know, the ears up for everybody on the team. You don't, as I talked to ET about this earlier this week, you don't want Rosas out there doing what he's doing, right? Kicking a couple 57-yard field goals in practice and doing everything he's being asked to do and having the coach come over and pat him on the head and say, you know, that's cute, but you got no shot.
Right.
Like, you can't send that message to the rest of the guys on the team that are trying to compete for playing time and spots on the roster.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's here's the thing. I looked up, since the start of 2017 season, I think we all know that the best kicker in the league is Justin Tucker, mm-hmm. with the Baltimore Ravens, without question. Well, I know that Josh Lambeau's missed a significant number of games compared to Tucker, but he's got a better field goal percentage than Justin Tucker, the best kicker in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And he has only missed, I think, what, one kick from 50 yards? 12 of 13 from 50 or more yards, Lambeau. So he's been just fantastic. But you're right. You know, if those guys see that competition going on, then they may have that sense of, uh-oh, I'm not safe either. I really need to step my game up. Which, you know, Urban Meyer is famous for creating competition and making every single rep be about who won this rep. Did the offense win it? Did the defense win it? Did Malcolm Brown win it? Did Brandon Linder win it? Who won it? You know what I mean? And that's what he did at Florida and Ohio State, and it breeds a huge, you know, it just makes everybody want to win and be a guy that feels like they have got to win this individual rep. So I think this is part of that. I mean, it's one of the few things that they can do now that's sort of live that could be a real competitive situation, you know, that kicking situation.
Have the first few months of covering Urban Meyer, the NFL head coach, been what you expected them to be?
Yeah, I wish we had a little bit more personal interaction, you know, in person, face-to-face, but obviously because of COVID, we can't. But I've been surprised at how open he is. You know, the most surprising thing to me was draft night when I think Mark Long asked him, who was the guy that you said you wanted but wasn't there when you picked ETN, and he said Kadarius Toney. I'm like, whoa, coaches generally don't say that. I mean, nobody says that. They go, oh, yeah, well, you know, you can probably figure it out if you look at it. But he was just right out there with Kadarius Toney. So being that transparent as he has been surprising and refreshing. I just hope that it continues into the season.
Is the hype train for Walker Little ever going to slow down at this point, D-Rock? Like, how legit a shot do you think he has to be one of the starting tackles for this football team week one?
I think it's a three-way battle for the two spots at this point. After listening to George Warhop yesterday, does he have some work to do? Absolutely. But you know what? So does Cam Robinson, and so does Juwan Taylor, to be honest with you. Their pass protection last year was not very good. George Warhop said it. You know, by ESPN's metrics, Juwan Taylor, I think I told you guys this before, gave up 18 sacks. 18. That's a lot for a right tackle to give up. And then you add in the 9 from Cam Robinson. That's 27, I think, of the 44 they gave up. I mean, that's not good at all. Now, it wasn't all their fault, for sure. I mean, you had different quarterbacks, it seemed like, every other week, and some guys are more mobile than others. But the bottom line is those two guys have got to be significantly better this year. Urban Meyer said it. George Warhop has said it. So if Walker Little comes in and they can clean up a few things and get him up to speed, as it were, and he gets his legs under him after missing, what, 2 years, then I think that we could go into training camp or we could go into the final preseason game not knowing who the two starting tackles are going to be, but it'll be one of those three guys or two of those three guys.
Oh, would you be surprised at this point if it's not for injury, right? Like, say all three guys stay healthy through the year. Would you be surprised at this point if Walker Little is not the starting tackle at some point?
No, I would not be. If Cam Robinson and Juwan Taylor don't improve significantly, then no, it would not surprise me at all, even if they remain healthy. Because that's, I mean, it's just, you can't get Trevor Hill, or whoever's the quarterback, you know, because of that competition. You can't get him killed. I mean, Joe Burrow got killed last year. Absolutely killed. That was an awful offensive line, and we saw what happened. You can't have that here. You just can't. So if one of those guys isn't any good or doesn't improve significantly, then, yeah, I can see Walker Little getting on the field. No question.
What, for you, will be the biggest questions or storylines for this team heading into training camp in a month?
You know, where's the pass rush coming from?
Mm-hmm.
What's that defensive line going to look like? That's really kind of what I'm looking at the most, other than, you know, the obvious storylines of Trevor and, you know, I guess Tebow is the storyline as well. Because to be honest with you, they did a really, really good job, I thought, of upgrading that secondary. I mean, Shaq Griffin, two new starting safeties. They drafted, you know, Tyson Campbell, who can play either. I think Trey Herndon is a pretty solid nickelback. So they're in really good shape back there. But where's that pass rush going to come from? Can they get anything out of Ke'Lavon Chase on? And what is that rebuilt defensive front going to look like? Excuse me. You know, is Devon Hamilton, is he your nose? And Malcolm Brown's your three technique? Where does Jihad? I want to see where all of that stuff kind of shakes out, because while that secondary, the improvements in the secondary are significant, and that will help the pass rush a little bit because they should be able to cover, even if they can give those guys even a half second or to a full second more than maybe the past year's secondary has, still got to get there. Still got to get to that quarterback and get them down. So where is that coming from? That's going to be the biggest thing that I'm going to watch in camp. And the biggest storyline for this team, to be honest with you, and that will be what determines whether they're significantly better or not.
What, if anything, have you been able to tell about all the defensive line additions that they made?
It's hard right now, to be honest with you, because, you know, they're not in pads and they're not going at it. I know Joe Cullen really likes Jihad Ward, so that should be encouraging. I mean, he brought him here because he feels like he can fill a specific role. He can be a guy that can play out there and end and create some problems at times as a rusher. So I think you should be encouraged about that if you're a Jags fan, because, you know, Cullen really wants guys that are familiar with his system, obviously, and know what the heck they're doing in his system. And I think Ward is a big addition for them.
We talked last week a little bit, Dempsey and I did, about breakout players for this team, and we made our list of guys, and Ke'Lavon Chase is on there because, look, what did he give you last year? Like, a breakout for him would be 4 or 5 sacks. That's a big jump for him, right? Like, it's the level of expectation. We both had Josh Allen on that list, despite the fact that he's had a 10.5 sack year. It feels like he's the type of guy that can be that 15 sack guy. Like, he's got that kind of capability. What kind of chances do you have? Do you give him a being that type of guy in a Joe Cullen-led defense this year?
No, I'm counting on 12 sacks from Josh Allen if I'm the Jaguars. I mean, he's an athletic beast. He's in great shape. You know, he's good. It's his more natural position, to be honest with you. Same thing for Chaisson, playing outside like that. So I think he should get 12 or more sacks. I would be really surprised if he doesn't. But I don't know if anyone else. The question of the pass rush is more anyone else, and well, everyone else, to be honest with you, for me, because I do think he will be very productive. I think he's going to thrive in this season.
What about, you mentioned the secondary. The thing that I keep hearing from guys is they look faster on the back end, especially compared to last year. Like, what has just your impression been of that entirely reworked group?
Yeah, it's a bigger, more physical unit, with Rayshon Jenkins back there. He's a big dude, too. I think they'll be more physical. You know, Urban Meyer, they made it a point to get bigger corners and bigger defensive backs. So, you know, it could be a really, really good unit. I'm really intrigued by Cisco. I mean, that guy was a turnover machine at Syracuse, and that's something that, you know, they need a playmaking safety back there. Any defense is always better with a playmaking safety, and that guy seems to have a nose for the ball. So, again, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch those corners go up against those receivers in some one-on-one drills. We'll be getting to camp and pads. Then we'll really get to see some good stuff. But I think that secondary, like I said before, that's the strength of that defense at this point. And, man, it is so much better than last year. I mean, there's going to be a lot of guys that started a lot of games here that might not make this team.
I know you basically only had a chance to see him for a day, and I don't know how locked in you were on him, but Tyson Campbell finally got out there late in the mini camp this week. How did he look to you just in the few reps that you got to see him play?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I mean, again, it was just a little bit of action there, and I had my eye on him a couple of times, but nothing. I mean, he looked okay. You know what I mean? You just want to see if they're moving around okay. At that point, and he looked all right from that standpoint.
All right. D-Rock, before we let you go, what do you got coming up with ESPN over the course of the next few weeks here?
Well, I'm going to be taking some vacation soon there, Tony.
There you go.
I'm working on a story about what should the legitimate expectations be for Trevor Lawrence or whoever the starting quarterback is here in Jacksonville next season. That's sort of the big story I'm working on before I go on vacation. Then I'm working on kind of a fun story that should run right when I come back, but I don't want to tell anybody yet because I still haven't been able to nail down all the people that I need to talk to for that one.
All right, we'll be looking forward to it, D-Rock. We'll talk to you soon. Training camp right around the corner, buddy.
Absolutely, and this is one of those few times I think that I can legitimately say, hey, I can't wait for training camp. Because normally, you want to go on your vacation, and you're like, oh, God, it's going to get here before we know it. But there's so much enthusiasm, and I'm really geeked about this season. I can't wait for camp.
Yeah, no doubt. This time it's, oh, man, it's going to be here before you know it. You know, like it's that
in a good
kind of
way.
Thing.
In
yeah,
a good way.
In an absolutely wonderful way. All right, D-Rock, we'll talk to you again soon, bud. Thanks.
See you guys.
That's Mike DiRocco, Jaguars reporter for ESPN's NFL Nation and regular contributor with Jaguars Today.
Come on, somebody!
He's got the Trevor Lawrence expectations article and something fun planned. We'll see what that turns out to be. We got this state in football history, gems around the National Football League. We'll let you hear from some of the Jaguars' assistant coaches, including pass game coordinator Brian Schottenheimer and offensive line coach George Warhop, as we continue into the second hour of Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
And now, this state in football history.
All right, this state in football history, June 17th. Got a few birthdays here for you. Happy 81st birthday to Hall of Fame linebacker Bobby Bell. Bell spent his entire 12-year career with the Kansas City Chiefs, where he made 9 Pro Bowls in those 12 years, was selected as a first-team All-Pro 6 times, won 2 AFL championships with the Chiefs, and was a member of the team when they won Super Bowl IV over the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings, by the way, selected Bell in the second round of the 1963 NFL Draft. Bell chose to play for the Kansas City Chiefs, who selected Bell in the 7th round of the AFL Draft that same year. Bell was selected by the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a second-team member of the All-Decade Team of the 1970s. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1983. Happy 56th birthday to Hall of Fame center Damani Dawson. Dawson was selected by the Pittsburgh Steelers in the second round of the 1988 NFL Draft. He was a Pro Bowler 7 times, first-team All-Pro 6 times in a 13-year career, all those years with the Steelers. He was selected by the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a first-team member of the All-Decade Team of the 90s. And happy 45th birthday to former Indianapolis, Atlanta, and Florida Gators, but much more importantly, Jacksonville Jaguars linebacker Mike Peterson. Mike Pete played 14 seasons in the league, including 6 years with the Jags from 2003 to 2008. And by the way, they had some pretty good defenses during that time that Mike Pete was roaming the middle of the field here for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So happy 45th birthday to Mike Peterson, and that is this date in football history.
Now, gems around the NFL, brought to you by Beach's Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
Chicago Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson spoke to the media yesterday and was asked about his contract situation in Chicago. The Bears placed the franchise tag on A-Rob. He sounded pretty resigned to playing this season under a one-year deal, saying, quote, "I don't have any contract updates or anything like that. That's not my control. If I don't get a long-term deal, that with that being a possibility, playing on the one-year franchise tag, then, I mean, that is what it is, and I'm comfortable with that. Obviously, that's a possibility. That's fine. It is what it is. As I said before, my main focus is continuing to be better and get better," end quote. The NFL sent out a memo yesterday in cooperation with the Players Association that announced restrictions for players that choose not to get the COVID vaccine. Here is the list. The players that choose not to get the vaccine will undergo daily testing, mask wearing, including in the team facility, and physical distancing while they're there. A quarantine if he has a high-risk exposure to someone with COVID-19, which could affect your opportunity to play week to week, as we saw throughout the season last year. Significant restrictions when traveling, including requiring isolation in the team hotel, relegation to a separate team plane, a prohibition of meals with teammates, a prohibition on social media and marketing sponsorship activities, a ban on gathering with more than three other players away from the team facility, a requirement to wear personal protective equipment to visit a nightclub or indoor bar that has more than 10 people in it, a ban on attending indoor concerts or other entertainment events, and a 5-day delay between first reporting to training camp and participating fully in activities. Essentially, the NFL and the NFLPA came out yesterday and said, get your vaccine, is essentially what they were doing. Now, you could feel however you want to about them taking that kind of stance on the vaccinations, but it's pretty clear how the NFL and the PA feel about the opportunity for their players to go out there and get vaccinated, at least at this point. One more note here. The son of former NFL defensive lineman Vince Wilfork was arrested for stealing over $300,000 worth of his father's jewelry, according to a police complaint released by Galveston County in Texas. The arrest occurred last month, and the theft included two Super Bowl championship rings for Vince Wilfork. So that story going on over there in Texas, and that is the gems around the National Football League. Yeah, I was laughing when I saw the restrictions they were going to put on players who chose not to get that COVID vaccine. I mean, wild. And the one that really caught my eye was the prohibition on social media and marketing sponsorship activities. Like, usually they don't reach into the players' pockets, right? Like, that kind of thing. And I don't know how they would even enforce that. Like, what are you going to do to a guy doing whatever he wants to do on Twitter? You're going to tell him what he can and can't tweet about, post about, get sponsored by? Like, I don't know how they enforce that particular thing, but they may have some bylaws that allow them to do that. But when I saw it, I was like, oh, they're reaching in the guy's pocket a little bit here. I wonder what the pushback is going to be from, you know, we saw Josh Sweat in Washington said something about it, Sam Darnold. The same day came out and said, you know, I got to gather more information before I make a decision. You know, and the PA has come out and said, D'Amore Smith came out and said, you've got questions, call us. We'll give you answers. And I got a feeling their answer is going to be, go get a vaccine. Like, it sounds like that's going to be their answer. And again, everyone out there listening, y'all can feel the way that you want to feel about it. I'm not trying to tell you how to feel about the availability of the vaccines or whether or not you should get one. I got one as soon as it was available to me to get one. So I'm not nervous about any of the things that a lot of people are nervous about, but I can't calm you down if you feel that way about it. I'm not going to try to change your mind. I know if you're an NFL athlete that doesn't want to get the vaccine, you're going to have to deal with a lot of hoops that nobody else on your team is going to be dealing with. And when those numbers get low, Like, if you're one of the two or three guys on your team and they're having to get another plane, like, for you to go on these trips and everybody's going out to dinner on the road and you're just stuck in that room, you know, like, that kind of stuff. Like, I just, I you do you, man. You do you.
Oh, man, that's tough.
When it's all said and done, you do you. Let's get into a little bit of the sound from yesterday with a bunch of the assistant coaches speaking to the media, including, look, we've been talking about the nutrition and everything that the Jags are doing from a player development standpoint since Urban Meyer got here. Strength coach Anthony Schlegel spoke to the media yesterday, and this guy sounds like a strength coach. When everything is said and done, E and I were talking about that just a few moments ago. Like, you want to know what a strength coach sounds like? Here you go. This is what a strength coach sounds like. Anthony Schlegel was asked about a motto that I cannot repeat. It's not safe for air, but it's the give up factor for this team as they try to get these players ready for the 2021 season.
Our GSF, give a shit factor for our dudes is like, I mean, I don't know. You can't comprehend it because, I mean, you got to feel it, right? You got to feel me and everybody in the sports performance team as to how we care about these guys. But you put that together, and guess what? They'll come in and they'll spill it, and that's how they're seeing the gains. And then you got that friction in the weight room too, where they want to serve each other and they want to push each other, and they start competing in the speed work that I was talking about before with Gary. They start competing against themselves, and they start competing against how fast they move weight. That is fun. That's, when you get done playing as a former player, when you get done, the one thing that you miss is training with your boys. So you got to create the environment to where I like to come in and work out with my dudes and our staff to increase my value so we can go win games. Like, that's what it's about.
Yeah, you're probably not going to get that at your local gym. You know, like a bunch of NFL guys. Odds are you may be able to convince a friend or two, you know, to come work out with me. You know, that kind of thing after you get done playing. But you're not going to find 10 of them. You know, like that kind of thing. The NFL locker room is certainly a special place. And the workout room is as well. Anthony Schlegel also asked about, he's worked with Urban Meyer before, why he wanted the opportunity to work with him again as he makes the transition to the National Football League.
Increasing the value of the athlete, because that's the only thing that matters. And so when you have that opportunity to work with a man like that, who trusts what you do and has your back and promotes that, I mean, it's a home run. And that's where, you know, you don't want to chase the dragon of being a head guy, but you want to go fulfill your purpose with like-minded people. And, you know, our coaching staff and our strength staff and our athletic training staff and nutrition, I mean, it's beautiful and it's fun. It's not a job for me, right? It's a purpose, and I'm just having a blast doing it.
A couple more here from Coach Schlegel, and he was asked about working with these guys and the dividends that he feels like he's already seeing with these guys really gaining some strength.
I started seeing the real gains on a Wednesday when we weren't training and we were having DJ and Visca and other guys on the team, the O'Shaughnessys and the Ben Ellisons and Tyler, like, you know, Chris Manhertz, when they were in early as groups and units going in and rejuvenated together. Like, all right, it's starting to work, right? The guys are buying into what we're selling, but they only do that if everybody in the sports performance team has a +2 mentality in serving the athlete.
One more here from Coach Schlegel, just asked about, all right, we know the emphasis is going to be put on these things, but how is the environment different for this team this year compared to maybe past years?
You have to give him everything in your toolbox to increase his value and maximize him. So, hey, we need to put on some weight. Let's get bumpy, right? So it was him and Terry and Visca, and then, you know, all the other wide receivers started coming in, and they just started having competition in the weight room, and you create that atmosphere to where they want to be. They want to train. And, I mean, I'm like, take your shirt off, look in the mirror, like, ooh, I like this, man. This looks good. Oh, I'm running faster, yes, and they're competing, and we're posting it. Like, I want to be that top guy. I want to keep working on this. Oh, okay, guess what? You just had a great day of training. Let's start to build that pro routine. Not in camp, not during the season. Let's build that pro routine in February and in March. So you go train, you get rejuvenated, you handle your nutrition, we repeat.
We'll let you hear from Coach Brian Schottenheimer. Schlegel will get you to run through a wall, boy. There ain't no doubt about that. We'll let you hear from pass game coordinator Brian Schottenheimer, as well as offensive line coach George Warhop, who, as I said, man, that hype train, it is on the tracks. It is gaining steam. With Walker Little day by day by day. I said it yesterday, E. I don't think I've ever seen an offensive lineman talked about as much as we talk about Walker Little before the guys have ever even put on a pad.
Man, that's a Stanford skyscraper, man. Put some respect on his name, too.
Oh, there's been plenty of respect put on Walker Little's name, at least to this point, as it feels more and more like he is firmly entrenched in competition for potentially a starting job there at one of the tackle spots for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll let you hear from Coach Warhop on the other side as well. It's a Thursday edition of Jaguars Today, rolling along here on 1010XL.
I'm counting on 12 sacks from Josh Allen if I'm the Jaguars. I mean, he's an athletic beast. He's in great shape. It's his more natural position, to be honest with you. Same thing for Chaisson, playing outside like that. So I think he should get 12 or more sacks.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Boy, do they need it from Josh Allen this year. There is no doubt about that, as they just didn't get enough last year. Power of the unit. We needed to show up this year for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we'll get to some comments from defensive line coach Tosh Lapoy from yesterday here in a few moments. But first, want to go to the offensive side of the ball. And we'll start with pass game coordinator Brian Schottenheimer, who we've been kind of chuckling about this cut since he said it yesterday, and we've had some fun with it already on the show this morning. But from the horse's mouth, Brian Schottenheimer saying that they have not decided yet who the starting quarterback is for this football team.
We're not in a position where we're saying, hey, 1, 2, 3, 4. We're letting them all roll. Everybody's getting reps. We want this thing to be really competitive. Ultimately, when we name a starter, we'll name a starter, and Urban will do that when he's ready. But I've just enjoyed watching these guys compete. Like I said, from Gardner's standpoint, you know, he's an alpha. He's got leadership ability. You love that. CJ's come in here. He's had to catch up, you know, with some of the system stuff because some of the verbiage here stayed the same with Coach Warhop staying. And then, of course, Jake has just been a guy that, you know, probably the least amount of reps, but every time he's been out there, he's moved the team and he's done things that we're like, wow, that's really great. So I'm thrilled with where we are right now as a quarterback room, and it's still too early to say, hey, how this thing's going to play out.
So let's hear your thoughts on the guy that eventually is going to be named the starting quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that is Trevor Lawrence. How far into the playbook is Trevor at this point?
I would say, John, that we're pretty much through 95% of the offense, the most part of it in. The good thing is, as we come back and we get started in training camp, we'll hit it again. You know, so what they learned in the first OTA, they'll learn in training camp one. What we did in the second OTA, they'll learn in training camp two. But his ability to come in and learn this system has been very impressive. It's been a lot of long hours. You know, he works his butt off when he leaves the building. He studies. He texts me all the time with questions, which I love. I mean, it'll be 9:45, 10 o'clock at night, and he'll be like, hey, Shoddy, on the backside of this, are we alerting that, or how are we handling this in this protection look? He loves the mental chess match of football. When you talk to him, he loves that part of it. It's not just throwing the football, it's the protection, it's the run checks. Like he truly is a guy that's fun for him. So when you get a guy like that leaves the building and he's spending hours on his own as a coach, it gets you excited because you know you better be prepared for your next morning's meeting because he's going to be ready to go.
I can't help but laugh. And the reason I'm chuckling is because I know that there are thousands of fans in New York who right now think that they got the guy who loves football and Jacksonville has been duped into drafting the guy that doesn't, right? And you haven't heard a word from anyone who's ever spent any football time around Trevor Lawrence that actually believes that nonsense, right? But there it is again. His quarterback coach, this guy, he'll text me in the middle of the night. He's got a question about football stuff. Like, he's asking about a blitz. It's like, this guy loves this. Like, the nitty-gritty of this game, he loves it. He is into it. Oh. I thought Trevor didn't love football.
He didn't love it.
I thought this wasn't a priority for him.
This wasn't priority.
E? I thought that was part of the story.
That's what they said.
But Trevor, they had me nervous.
They will do that to you.
Oh, my goodness. join me in laughing at all the people in New York who think they got the guy who loves ball and you didn't. Trevor Lawrence. Brian Schottenheimer also asked about, he mentioned they got four guys in. They're trying to get everybody a little bit of work every day. How difficult is it getting reps for all four of his guys?
I wouldn't say difficulty. I mean, it's not perfect. The numbers will never match up. We do our best. I would say I mentioned this earlier. Jake probably has gotten the least amount of reps of anybody. But I know one thing. If you look at the film or the next time you're out there practicing, you'll see him standing right behind the quarterback getting a mental rep. And we believe that that's almost as important. It's not quite as good, but it's almost as important. And he has not missed one of those. So, again, four quarterbacks is a awesome luxury. We're thrilled to have four, not only good players that we have, but great young men. The room is awesome. But I would say they're all pretty balanced. Each day's been a little bit different, and they're all maximizing their opportunities.
Pass game coordinator Brian Schottenheimer speaking yesterday, and he was asked about not just the quarterbacks, but a couple of the skill position guys outside of that position as well, specifically what he's seen from Travis Etienne and Laviska Shenault.
It's terrific, and it's been fun to watch them both grow. I mean, just the strides, I'll speak to Laviska. I mean, he, you know, when we first got here, you know, I liked him coming out of Colorado. I remember looking at him in Seattle and saying, wow, a tremendous athlete. But the gains that he's made and some of the strides that he's made and the spots we're putting him in has been really amazing. And he's been a guy that's almost showed up every day with a couple big plays you get excited about, along with Marvin Jones and DJ Shark and some of the other guys. And then Travis, of course, is – he's a big play waiting to happen. You know, he's got the electric speed. He's got the finishing speed. We know what he is as a runner. He's amazing in space. And now it's been kind of fun to try to take him and teach him some of the nuances that go into the passing game, because all we're doing by doing that is adding value for him. And, again, there's been growth. We just had a great session outside. He was unbelievable with some of the things we were asking him to do in the passing game. And as a coach, that gets you excited. Like I said earlier, you show them things, they retain it, they do it, and as a coach, you feel like, wow, it's sinking in.
Quarter in the jar. Chark.
Chark. C-H. Chark.
Yeah, Chark attack. It's all right. I'll forgive him. It was only once, and hopefully we get it figured out going into the future. But it is nice to hear that they're excited about their guys, right? And their ability to retain it, and to hear somebody else say, yeah, Laviska, he's really in shape. He's really moving around out there. He's a freak. Getting into the offensive line a little bit here, Coach George Warhop, who is one of the guys that got retained from the coaching staff last year here in Jacksonville. The starting five have been brought back from what the Jags had in the 2020 season as well. Coach Warhop was just asked off the top what he's seen in the offseason from his two starting tackles, Cam Robinson and Juwan Taylor.
I think they both have done a nice job, right? You come back, first thing I look at is weight, body weight, if they've been working or not. Both those guys are within what we want in terms of body weight. Both those guys' strength from the offseason program has gone up, okay? When we've been out to practice, no issues in terms of conditioning. So that part of it is evident that they've been working. Now, in terms of on-the-field stuff, the stuff we have to get better at, right? I think both those guys have made strides this offseason. We still have to make more strides coming back into the season.
Yeah, Coach Warhop was obviously coming in straight from the practice field. He even mentioned it at some point because he is pouring sweat the whole time he's standing up there doing the press conference. They asked him about five or six questions, and then they were ready for whatever was coming next. Then Warhop stopped everything. He was like, y'all brought me in here from outside. I've just been working. I don't even got a chance to get a towel or nothing. And y'all asked me five questions. He's like, he had that moment. He's like, y'all going to ask me more, like that kind of thing. And I think Mia O'Brien jumped in and they discussed biking for a couple of minutes because she was calling in from her bike. But the big headlines coming out of George Warhop's press availability yesterday, Walker Little, as I said, hype train continuing to run. He said that he's been impressed to this point with Walker.
I can be completely honest with you, right? I've had multiple tackles drafted in the first or second round, and he came in as prepared or more prepared than any of those guys, right? In terms of movement skills, in terms of intellect, in terms of communication, you know, we ask guys to do things differently than they do in college, so there's a learning curve there. But in terms of how he came in, the fact that he didn't play for 2 years, you really couldn't notice that.
and follow up there about Walker Little and just the kind of competition he thinks he can bring.
At Stanford, I thought he was one of those 315 guys, 312 guys. He's 325. That's a big freaking man. And he can move, and he can slide his feet. And as long as he continues to grow and pass pro and understand his angles and position, okay, if he develops, he could bring some competition.
Coach Warhop was asked about what he challenged Juwan Taylor about coming out of the 2020 season to get ready for 2021.
My biggest issue with Juwan is just consistency in pass pro, right? In the run game, he's physical. Same with Cam. From a run standpoint, I really can't about any of our guys and how we approach it, right? I'm of the belief, all right, there's very few teams, if we decide we want to hand the ball off, are going to stop us from running the ball. But where we struggled last year at times was in pass pro, right? And that's a technique issue and a consistency issue, all right? And that's been addressed. It will continue to be addressed. Those guys know it. It's something that we're not shying away from, so it'll get better.
And if you were wondering before the coaches spoke yesterday, where does the buck stop? I don't think any of us were, but if you were wondering where the buck stops in the Jaguars organization from a football standpoint, those questions were once again answered yesterday. Coach Warhop just was asked about Urban Meyer and said, yeah, the style is different from the previous regimes here in Jacksonville.
it's very different. I'm going to say this, it's different. His energy is different. His approach in terms of big picture view has some similarities to Eric Mangini in terms of how he wants to program the run. The biggest difference, I think, is it's players first mentality. He'll do whatever's necessary for the players, that they have the best in the building, that they're taking care of the best, right? And if we're going to require them to play at a high level, okay, us as an organization have to provide for them at a high level. That's the biggest thing that he brings to the table. He has energy. And it's players first, and those guys understand that it's players first.
Yeah, it's pretty clear in the building. The buck stops with Urban on all football decisions, right? Like it's, oh, you got a question about something? Better figure it out with Urban.
Go holler at Urban.
Yeah, you know, at this point in time. We'll let you hear from defensive line coach Tosh Lapoy when we return on the other side as, look, it's going to be the question, I think, heading into training camp is, do the Jaguars have pass rush? And where is it going to come from? Can they stop the run? Have they done enough to improve that defensive line? All of it is guessing at this point. We won't know till they really start knocking around when we get into training camp and the pads come on. But we'll hear from the defensive line coach, Tosh Lapoy, when we return on the other side. Get your responses to the question of the day today, asking you, what Jaguars player were you the most excited about when he was signed or drafted by the team? Maybe that's Trevor Lawrence. He may be the peak of your excitement at a guy landing here in Jacksonville, but maybe it's not. Maybe it is. We've got a bunch of different answers so far this morning, so we'll go through some of those and give our answers as well. On the other side, Tony Smith, ET, here with you. Mike Dempsey on vacation until Monday, so about a show and a segment left for Mike on the vacation from Jaguars Today. As we continue rolling along, it's a Thursday here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Where's that pass rush going to come from? Can they get anything out of Kalavon Chaisson? And what is that rebuilt defensive front going to look like?
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Well, we know the names that they need the pass rush to come from. What that production will look like exactly, and we're not that far away. I thought it was fun, too, you know, with D-Rock. It is, you know... Obviously, I'm doing this show. I love the National Football League, right? Like, I love the NFL and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, look, I don't need a month of vacation right now. I don't need a month of nothing happening. Man, come on. Give me a break.
Yeah, it's about to be, like, a tough situation.
Right? Like, I'm good with the players having it. I'm not trying to take your time away from you, all right? Like, it's not that kind of thing. I understand you guys have been putting in work for the last several months and you need a little bit of time off. I thought it was funny listening to D-Rock talk about, you know, usually you get into this time of the year and it's like, man, I only got a month, right, to get ready for training camp, and then training camp's going to be here. And this year, even for a guy like D-Rock, it's like, man, I'm a month away from training camp. You know, like that kind of thing. It does feel different. You know, there were championship expectations going into training camp in 2018. None of us could wait to get to that. Like, we got to this time of year that year, we were like, just hit fast forward. Are you kidding me? Let's go. Let's just get into the fall and get this thing going. This year has that kind of feel to it where it's, let's just get this thing going, even if the expectations aren't necessarily Super Bowl or bust for the Jaguars this year. There's a lot of space for the possible outcomes for the football team this year, and you can make a reasonable argument for, look, they really improved if they won six games, right? Like, you can, they won one game last year, and depending on how they won those six, you could feel pretty good about a six-win team, possibly. I'm not trying to tell you you have to feel good about 6-11, which still feels weird to say, but it's possible that you could feel good about it. I know you'd feel good about 10-7. You know, I'm guessing you probably feel pretty good about 9-8. You'd probably be okay if they wound up going 8-9 and you could go through an offseason frustrated about the three that you let get away, you know, which is essentially what the Chargers have gone through this offseason, right? Right around 500. You remember those three games we should have won, could have won, might have won? You know, like, you got that kind of thing going on and all kinds of excitement going into the season. But questions about the defense. When we get to training camp, yeah, that's where my focus is going to be first and foremost, beyond just Trevor, right? But do they have enough? Have they added enough on the defensive side of the ball? Defensive line coach Tosh Lapoy talked to the media yesterday, and he was asked about the guy who's going to be the principal guy when it comes to pass rush for this football team, at least from a numbers perspective. Josh Allen, a Pro Bowl year, his rookie year. What has he seen as far as progression from Allen thus far this offseason?
Josh has completely dominated his training. He's attacked it, done everything we've asked of him. Been really neat to have him see another guy that's really brought that the strength gains and what he did. Again, a guy, you know, when we stepped in the building and we're learning where our office is, one of the first guys I meet is Josh Allen. You know, he's in there lifting, training, getting ready for the goals he has to attack with the season ahead. So I think he's a really versatile athlete. He's somebody that can play on the edge, operate out of a two-point, a three-point. We're going to ask him to rush the passer, set edges, drop in coverage. And up to this point, he's done a nice job of attacking all three of those phases.
Let's go, Josh Allen. And I'm not going to lie, I was pretty happy last year in the draft when the Jags wound up getting Chase on where they did. I was pretty happy. He was being talked about at that point as the second best pass rusher in that draft, right? They wound up getting him middle of the 20s. You know, I was like, oh, here we go. You know, they obviously need to add to the pass rush. Rookie year played out the way it did. So if I was ranking my answers to today's question of the day, Chase on may be on the list for me, honestly, of guys that I was excited about when they got him, where they got him. Hadn't worked out that way yet, but his line coach, Tosh Lapoy, was asked about Chase on and what he's seen from him getting ready for his second year in the league. It's all good. Yeah, number eight.
Yeah, they need to. And I think ultimately when a player understands that, and then it's not just lip service, and you actually live that. At the end of the day, we're going to be judged by our results on film, and our resume is that film, coaches and players together. So if we can function at a high effort level and we get the results from that, then that's something that you can't deny, and it's easy buy-in. So that's exactly what we're going to do. And the guys that are going to be up for game day are going to be treated as all, each one of them as starters, and we're gonna roll those guys in and ask of them to, you know, whoever's at that specific role, there'll be no accepting a lesser standard per individual, you know, of the assignment we ask them to execute.
Yeah, I think that was Lapoy talking about the defensive line rotation. Do we have one in there that's just Chase on? I think it's, if we don't, we don't. That's all good. Let's just go to working then with defensive coordinator Joe Cullen, cut number five here. ET, as Tosh LePoy was asked yesterday just about the opportunity to work with Joe Cullen, who has had success in a bunch of the different stops that he's had in his NFL career.
It's awesome. You know, Joe is Joe's done a phenomenal job of clearly expressing, you know, who we're going to be as a defense, schematically, as well as mentality. And Joe's been, you know, roaming, you know, all around, and from the nickels, safeties, corners, backers to us. And we love when Joe comes over. So there's times where, you know, I want Joe to be highly involved as much as possible. He's someone that's been an expert at coaching D-line and front seven play. He's been a coordinator on multiple occasions. And he's someone that's been a part of this specific system for the last five seasons as well. So when a coach knows and understands the why behind what we're coaching, then ultimately I think it's going to be as clear as possible as far as getting that information to the players. So it's great to know. We all come from different foundations and, you know, over the years put together our own, you know, packages and what we're most confident in coaching. Well, when you know the why behind all the specifics within the system, then I think it can be most successful. So love what Joe's doing. It's been awesome working with him, and excited about, you know, the direction we're going.
It won't be too long till we can stop guessing about how much they've improved and we could just watch it happen on the football field. We are getting there. The offseason is done. Training camp next for the Jaguars on the horizon. Our question of the day today, asking you out there, what Jaguars player were you most excited about when he was signed or drafted or even traded for by the team? And we'll make that our 10-10 take.
10-10. This 10-10 take is brought to you by Peninsular Pest Control at CritterGetter.com.
All right, here's some of the answers we got on this morning. Scott sent in, for me, it's Jalen Ramsey because he wasn't supposed to be there when Dallas selected Zeke. We jumped up, high-fived, and did a shot. Too bad it didn't work out long-term with Jalen. From Aaron, he said, ashamed to say it, but I was hyped when we signed Chris Ivory. That ended well, didn't it? Hashtag us Brits know nothing. From Cristiano down there in Brazil, the guy with the problems in his back, he's not even willing to say the name, so I won't say it when you don't want it to be said, Cristiano. No longer with the team. Trevor was no surprise. The excitement was through the roof when the Jets won a game. From Baxter, I was a Gator fan first, and I remember listening to the radio in my dad's car at the Boston Market, and he knew the Jags had selected Fred Taylor made by the amount his car was bouncing in his excitement. There in the car. Very cool, Baxter. From Meta World Crazy, I was excited about Julius Thomas. Another guy that, yeah, there were plenty of people pumped up when Julius was coming here. From Poppy Domino, just a picture of Justin Blackmon holding up that draft day jersey with the number one on it. Oh, look, everyone looks so happy. They're shot in the back. Oh, Mike Mularkey. Oh, it's a throwback. Gene Smith finally goes out on a limb. That worked out well for him. From Daniel, he also said, Justin Blackmon, so much excitement for a true number one, only for things to derail so quickly. From Pitbull Copper, we got Nick Foles. And yeah, there were plenty of people that were plenty excited when Nick Foles was coming here. We had one answer with the guy that I would say I was the most hyped about when they made the pick, because I would have been fine with them taking him in the first round, and they got him in the second round. I got up and did, I almost jogged a lap around my block when they got Miles Jack in the second round. That's how excited I was when they got Miles Jack. Like, and my friends were at the house. They wanted to go to dinner. They were like, we got to go to dinner. I was like, no. Jags are picking in like three picks. We're not going anywhere until I find out what they're doing with this second round pick. And it kept coming off the board. It's like another team goes and Miles is still there. And I was looking, I was like, we're going to get Miles Jack. We're going to get Miles Jack. And they're like, why are you so excited about this, right? Like, my friends don't follow football hardly at all. And then they took Miles and I just ran out of the house, right? Like, I was back 5 minutes later. They were like, what happened? I was like, they took Miles Jack. I don't understand why y'all aren't pumped up at this point. E, do you have a guy that you were unreasonably excited about when they got him?
No, it's you know, put Fred in the Hall of Fame. That's it.
put Fred Taylor in the Hall of Fame.
Put him in the Hall of Fame.
It's been the motto for this week. We're going to make it a life motto as we go forward here on this show as we welcome in the boys of XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping 1010XL rolling with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
As we welcome in Matt Hayes, I annoyed people, I think, with my love for Miles Jack in the draft process.
And then he wasn't down.
Oh, my. Oh, the pain.
I hate to bring it to
you know, like, it, that's one of those things, too. As a sports fan, you remember the ups, obviously. The highs are the highs, and you never let go of those. But those scars that you carry for life, there is something about family in those scars, right?
Well, like, I've seen you in a shirt, Tony, that says Miles Jack wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
Miles
Jack wasn't. Yeah, Jaguars fans, they can get together, say those words, and it's just like everyone can feel what they felt in that moment, right? Like, you can go back to the AFC Championship game, and hopefully, you know, in the next few years, Trevor Lawrence can solve some of those things. You know, it's like, here we go. We don't have to dwell on 1999. We don't have to dwell on that AFC Championship game against New England anymore. We can move forward and talk about championships for this team going forward, hopefully.
Yeah, I think that's really the most important thing, because you look at it's not, and I keep saying this, it's not only Trevor. I think it's Urban, and I think the more and more we start to hear from assistant coaches, I think the more and more you're starting to see how Urban rubs off on them as well. He's not only coaching players, he's coaching coaches, which is what he did in college too. It's all part and parcel of making people think differently about football, and that's what he's done from day one. If I was a Jags fan, a lifelong Jags fan, I would be absolutely fired up. I'd be giddy about what's going on, because it's completely different from what it was before. Which, I mean, honestly, except for one or three seasons here and there, it was abject failure.
Oh yeah.
So I would just be absolutely beside myself knowing that you've got Urban Meyer. And knowing what he's done as far as procuring players and developing players and where it moves from here.
Are you a jersey guy?
Am I a jersey guy?
As in wearing like a player's jersey?
I'm not a jerseys guy. Never have been.
Have you thought about buying a Walker Little jersey? Like,
maybe.
Is that part of the plan?
Maybe.
Going forward? I'm telling you, man. I can't remember ever talking about a lineman before they ever put on pads as much as we do Walker.
Here's the thing with Walker Little, and we have this discussion on Primetime all the time. You know, the idea is, well, why would you – if he's better than Cam Robinson, you can't put $14 million on the bench, can you? And my point is, it's cost of doing business.
He's here anyway.
Nick Foles is on the bench. Yeah. How much was he making?
Yeah.
How much had you already paid him?
Right.
So to me, and I've been saying this, and Leon and I have been trying to preach this forever, is if he's better than either one of those tackles, get him on the field. Put your best five on the field. I mean, listen to George Warhop. Listen to what he said about him.
Sure.
At the very least, you should be excited about potentially – what could happen once the pads go on. But again, it's a different game once the pads go on.
Yeah, and I think it goes to the deal with Lambeau and Rosas, right? Like, it's different because it's kicker. It's different, but you can't – if Rosas is nailing everything, 57 yards, two times in practice, every time you put him out there, he's nailing it from close to 60 yards, your coach can't come over to him and pat him on the head in front of everybody else on the team and say, that's cute. You know, like, that can't be the attitude you have on the field. Like, if they're looking at it saying, huh – you know, like, if they're looking at it doing that, which they could eventually in training camp be doing on offensive line, we'll see. But you keep hearing things, at least. So what do you guys got coming up on XL Prime?
We're talking Jags. We're going through the NFC North, I believe, today and tomorrow.
Okay.
It's just Jags and college football, and we're getting after it.
Nice. We'll be listening.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Matt. XL Prime Time coming up next. Matt Hayes, Hacker. And Leon Searcy, as Josie on vacation this week. One more day of vacation for Mike Dempsey. Tom McManus will join me tomorrow. Also, we'll have Jeff Loggeman on the show as well to get his thoughts on the Jaguars offseason as we're about a month away from training camp. That'll do it for us, though, for Mike DiRocco, for Tony Smith, for Emmanuel Thaler, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Yo, Jacksonville. Start taking care of y'all mantles, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken.